welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, as technology continues to play a pivotal role in the evolution of the payments industry, the industry at large needs to take a look at ways that the technology can provide additional value beyond the initial proposition. So, an interesting use case of this added value comes from smart terminals. Now, when it comes to the initial value of smart terminals, many head in the direction of consumer benefits. And while that is true, a smart terminal can go beyond just adding value to a merchant's consumer, but to the merchant and its employees as well. And if done correctly, ISOs can take advantage of the technology lift to recognize added value merchant trends to enhance current offerings based on merchant feedback and data. So to dive deeper into this, I'm joined by Greg Hema, who is the PopCodes co-founder and CEO, and Raymond Pucci, the director of the Merchant Service Advisory Practice at Mercator Advisory Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Greg and Ray, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode. We're really going to take a deep dive into a very interesting topic here around smart terminals. Now, before we dive into that, Greg, I want to get your perspective because I really think that we need to define what a smart terminal is, and that certainly can be a lot of different things for a lot of different people. So Greg, how is it that your organization defines a smart terminal?
Well, Ryan, first of all, thanks for having us on. You know, we really see the smart terminal evolution similar to what happened with phones over the last 20 years. You know, there's a lot of devices out there that, you know, like a flip phone, have some capabilities that are more advanced, but it's only when you get to that device that's got the rich color screen, the multiple payment acceptance capabilities, the ability to run multiple apps, you know, beyond just, you know, payment, credit, debit acceptance, but other merchant supporting apps, fairly close to a point of sale system, but really focused on that payment experience.
That's right, Greg, and great to be with you today. Yeah, at Mercator, we're seeing merchants really looking for smart terminals because there's so many added value services that they can get out of it. And they often look to payments providers, whether it's merchant acquirers or ISOs, to give them these services. And it really makes quite a difference for merchants to run their businesses.
Yeah, and I certainly, that's a fantastic definition there, because I really think that sets the stage. Now, Ray, I want to stay with you for a second, because I think Mercator Advisor Group has some really interesting data as it relates particularly to merchants and loyalty, so kind of added value services. And really, that's kind of a bulk of what we're talking about here when we're talking about smart terminals and what makes a smart terminal a smart terminal. So, Ray, what data is it that you have for Mercator Advisor Group?
Right, exactly, Ryan. And what we're finding, and I should mention another few things about smart terminals that, you know, usually it's the way of the cloud now. And that's one of the advantages of smart terminals is they're, you know, so much easier to update, you know, versus on a local network, accepting more types of payments. The enhanced security is a major factor in the smart terminals. And often merchants can find a lot more cost effectiveness in smart terminals that they receive from their payment providers like ISOs. So given that, some Mercator Advisory Group primary data that has just come in, we query small businesses, 2,000 small businesses, and we define that as businesses that have under 10 million in annual sales. And one of the questions was related to merchants' use and preferences of some of these value-added services that they can receive from payments providers. So say, for example, loyalty. The survey found that 70% of these 2,000 merchants that we surveyed are using some sort of a loyalty program or an integrated marketing program. So there's no doubt there's a call for this from these small and medium merchants. And the other part of the data is that of these same 2,000 merchants, 30% of them are getting these added value services from ISOs. So to me, that means there's a great opportunity for ISOs to grab more of this market share, and because the demand is there for merchants and they're looking for it. So I think more ISOs should really get into this, because there's a big part of the market share pie here that is out there for them.
Yeah, and building on that, Ray, and what you said around the communications capabilities, I mean, that really is an inherent capability. Those smart terminals, like a smartphone, can both talk internally to the Wi-Fi network and through GPRS and cellular technology to the cloud. And the ability to drive conversations and to leverage that device in a whole new way, just like the smartphones, you know, most of the usage of the smartphone isn't talking anymore. To leverage these new devices as a media channel to connect with the merchants and then connect through the merchants to the store associates and the employees and consumers is a huge potential. And this infrastructure is just now being laid. And I think that's, you know, what we're focused on is helping the acquirers and ISOs benefit and leverage this infrastructure to help them drive, you know, more awareness and more engagement, you know, in their merchants of those value-added services that they can offer.
Yeah, Greg, I want to stay with you for that because I think that's really interesting because Ray brought up obviously the loyalty aspect of it and then you brought up the communication aspect of it. So then my next question really goes to then what advances other than what we were just kind of talking about there, do smart terminals potentially offer from existing terminals or estate management offerings?
Yeah, I think that's a key question, Ryan. Typically today, again, the acquirers and ISOs are leveraging these estate management tools to distribute software, to post updates, to update security, that type of thing. But the device has so much more capabilities and communication and ability to message the merchant, the ability to control the unboxing experience, the ability to deliver access to training content and support content and those types of things are inherently, you know, capable in that environment. And the key question is, you know, how do you get that migration from a file level mentality and a systems and operations level mentality to a marketing and a support and an operations mentality that is focused on the key critical aspect of maintaining relationships, which is communication. How can I make my merchants aware of my operational environment and any issues that might be affecting their day-to-day processing of payments? How can I help them accelerate the onboarding of their associates and the effective use of the tools that you're providing with them? And then again, after you've built that foundation and after you engage them, using that same platform to educate them, to enroll them, and to support a variety of those other value-added services. You know, the app store concept is great, and every smart terminal should be connected to an app store environment. But being able to deliver a curated, you know, industry vertical specific information about those apps that'll benefit the merchant the most and their customers the most is really the key aspect. And again, we just see this platform as a green field that, you know, acquirers and ISOs can benefit from, you know, that digital, you know, owned media channel that's such a unique opportunity and really, you know, unleveraged across the industry for the most part so far.
That's right, Greg. You know, the merchants that we interface with and Mercator, and I know you're seeing some of the same things that, you know, staffing levels are down. They're a lot of the staff of small and medium sized businesses. They're often part-time, so communication becomes so important, especially because of the longer hours of retail. All the staff isn't all there at once. So business owners really need these technology tools at their disposal that can be added on to the smart terminals that we're talking about, you know, from their ISOs. And I know earlier when you said, Greg, that these terminals, you know, making the analogy with the smartphone, it's not necessarily that you're talking into it, but it's the graphical user interface that really makes the employee able to use these things. You know, a very quick startup, not a lot of training that needs to go into how to use the interface. But speaking of training, that's an excellent use case for having the software added on to a smart terminal is employees benefit because they can receive updates from ISO. They'll get information and be trained on new features that come on with payments acceptance. So there's just quite a bit of staff productivity that a business owner can gain you know, using these software solutions. And then, as I mentioned, and just to reiterate, it really opens up the communication between the merchant and their ISO payment provider. And as we know, everyone is so busy and you have to look to technology to provide these other ways to communicate. And again, this software solution on the smart terminal really enhances that communication, which is so important for the merchant to receive from their ISO.
Yeah, Ray, thank you so much for that. But Greg, this next question is really where I'm really glad that we've got you and your organization PopCodes on today's episode here, because as I'm listening to the conversation, a bulk of this is really focusing around the merchant itself. And usually when we talk about, you know, smart terminals, it's usually the focus of the conversation is towards the consumer side of things. So I'm really glad that we're focusing on the merchant side of things, because where you're talking about all these software pushes to it, and there's all these additional benefits for merchants and their employees under it. I'm curious though, because let's do a little bit of role playing of that. I'm a merchant and I decide, yes, I want to upgrade to the smart terminal. I want to be able to get this new software here, but I want to be able to track what the return on investment is here, right? I need to be able to have some data or analytics behind it. So I'm curious then to get from your perspective, how does the new smart terminal market really allow for measurement of data, like just say merchant engagement?
Yeah, it's a really key question as well, Ryan. Everybody's used to, you know, in other digital media channels like the web, you know, used to being able to monitor web traffic and used to being able to monitor interactions. And in the traditional payment, you know, space, the measurement you get is in the transactional data. And again, while that's important to understand, you know, for the velocity of the merchant and how they're growing and how your payment services are being leveraged, there's a whole lot of other information that's really needed to be able to understand, you know, is this merchant satisfied? Are we helping them train their employees more quickly? Are we giving them the content that they need to avoid calls into the call center to solve their problems more quickly? Are we giving them, you know, the information, you know, and engaging them for those value-added services? And by deploying our software onto those terminals, you can not only deliver that time of content, and you can do it in a just-in-time way from the moment they open the box to, you know, the follow-up activities that typically occur from that, but you can gain that measurement. So we can track, you know, how often does a merchant view a message? How often do they drill down into self-help? How often are they looking at training content? How often are they, you know, looking up product and service offerings and those types of things? And how often do we connect that experience from the point of purchase in the merchant's location to your online channels? Because again, the industry has invested a lot in creating content through the web, but the amount of traffic and the usage of that is pretty low. And I think, again, as a part of an omni-channel strategy, if you can leverage that in-store device to drive awareness and then leverage more advanced functions like QR codes to make the merchant's journey or the store associate's journey from that payment device, you know, through their mobile phone into content on the web, whether it's the merchant portal or whether it's training material or documentation, you can drive very, you know, seamless and consistent experience, reduce the risk of your merchant being exposed to competitive information or maybe inaccurate information when they search the web for it, and still have that same level of trackability. So you can see a very clear and very, you know, traceable path that the merchant takes as they're first learning about your services, and then leveraging your services and getting the support that they need, and then adding on to those services and create that full measurable, you know, digital life cycle that is really essential to being able to optimize it and to grow the amount of leverage and penetration you have for those new services.
I know, Greg, and that's so important. You're talking about cross-channel, omni-channel, because really we like to think of it that consumers today, they're hybrid shoppers and they have different places. They can go to a store in person, they can shop online, and then many times they cross over between the two. And online, really, you're finding mobile plays a big role now. We're finding half of the e-commerce orders occur on a mobile device. So that's that hybrid nature of shopping. And merchants need to be able to take advantage of that, which again is a big benefit to some of the software enhancements on the smart terminal. The metrics that you mentioned, you know, merchants are so busy, as we all are, and they just want to run their business, though. In a way, they could care less about how the payment transaction happens. They just want to run the business. They want the tools to be able to operate in a profitable manner. So if they can see metrics on usage, some other, you know, data that you're mentioning, they're definitely going to optimize their revenue. And revenue optimization, which often occurs through, you know, productive use of added value services, that's just going to drive customer engagement. And when you drive customer engagement, merchants find these loyal customers spend more and they come back more often. So, I mean, those are some big benefits that merchants will find here.
Yeah. And as merchants kind of in that B2C world use those methods, acquirers and ISOs in a B2B model can do the same thing. So they can communicate directly to the merchants. And because that payment device, that in-store device, is a dedicated, exclusive, you know, owned media channel with our software, you know, incorporated into it, they can now see the level of engagement that their merchants, their audience has in those messages. And we're seeing, you know, in the stats you'll see in this article, are, you know, 80%+ daily engagement by the merchant or the in-store associate in the content that the acquirer and ISOs that we support are delivering. So whether it's a branded message or whether it's, you know, just-in-time training content or maybe an operational update or sales and marketing activities about value-added services and about gift and loyalty programs and cash advance and other things that the merchants are interested in, the level of engagement through that in-store device is massive. It's, you know, multiple times higher than email or social or any other existing digital channels. You know, we were able to drive 150% increase in web traffic, you know, in a very short amount of time just by leveraging QR codes. And they could specifically track that those merchants were using their mobile devices to read, you know, common error codes and to download training videos and that type of thing. So it's a really, you know, significant win-win for both the merchant as they start to learn about and leverage these tools for their own traffic, but also, again, for that large acquirer and ISO that has, you know, hundreds or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of SMB merchants, they've got now a new tool that's much more directed, much more controlled, and much more engaging than any other digital channel that they've ever had before. And their ability then to ensure that those messages are delivered and that the workflows and follow-up activities that are required to move it from awareness to action are right there at their merchant's fingertips with a push of a button. That's why we called it push button services, bringing those services to the merchants and making it as easy as just simply pushing a button on their existing device. No, you know, logins, no browser searching required. The content and the information and the you know, opportunity for expanding the services is right there at their fingertips.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you so much for that there, Greg. Now, I really like to ask this next question here because it really is kind of where the rubber meets the road here. So when we're kind of taking a look at where Ray brought up kind of the revenue optimization side of things, obviously then the next question kind of goes towards the ROI question here. So the question I've got for you, Greg, is so what's the traditional time to market for payment terminal software versus pop code solutions? And then what is the anticipated ROI?
We've taken a pretty, you know, specific strategy to try to deliver these value-added services that are adjacent to, but not required, connected, you know, to the payment solution. So there's no PCI compliance, you know, impacts. There's no, I mean, we're out of scope from that perspective entirely. You literally can't run card data through our application. And the content can change very easily over time. So a business user with no programming required can modify the content, you know, the welcome messages and the operational and sales messages that they see and the menus that are available for a merchant without having to redeploy the application. So that combination of a you know, relatively standalone application that doesn't, you know, require the payment app integration and the ability to modify the content dramatically reduces the time to market. And it allows you to start with something, you know, as simple as a digital unboxing experience or what we call a welcome message that in itself can deliver, you know, 10 to 20 times ROI. You know, your reduction of the training and support required for a new merchant, the acceleration of their device activations and first transactions, improved merchant satisfaction, all of those things, you know, are immediate benefits. And then as you go down that merchant lifecycle, you can continue to educate them and engage them and inform them through this channel now. And again, avoid inbound calls by, you know, providing that information to them about any operational issues. Avoid, you know, long training sessions by giving them direct access, you know, to the videos, you know, and linking them to the videos and other content that has been available, or providing answers right on the terminal itself. And if those acquirers and ISOs, you know, benefit, you know, take advantage of those services, they reduce that operational overhead, they reduce that support overhead, and then they free up that time and resources for that sales activity. And that's where, again, the really substantial, you know, 20 times, you know, 30 times ROI, if you can, you know, increase the number of merchants in your portfolio that take advantage of your cash advance offerings, every one of those is a massive, you know, win in terms of revenue generation. Every value-added service that you offer, like loyalty or even, you know, HR programs and time tracking programs and supply and accessory orders and those types of things, not only, you know, generate incremental revenue and ROI, but it increases the stickiness and builds that, you know, long-lasting, high lifetime value type of customer that, you know, the industry is really striving for.
That's right, Greg. You know, I really see a lot of merchants transitioning to these more cost-effective POS solutions, you know, and I know there are many that are considering that because their eyes will be open when they really see the productivity enhancements that go along with the new software solutions on these smart terminals. We all know the retail environment right now, wages are going up, overhead costs are up, inflationary influences are hitting the supply chain, of which, you know, many merchants bear the brunt of that. So they really need ways to be cost effective. And these solutions that we've been discussing really go a long way to really relieving some of the burden on these cost pressures that they're seeing. And I know that acquirers and ISOs are really deploying a wide variety of models across, you know, the smart terminal landscape. So, and, you know, there are some fringe benefits too, I think, that would come. These smart terminals are so much more advanced. For example, enhanced security, which merchants, you know, the bane of merchants are chargebacks and fraud. So the side benefits that go along would mean a lot to save a merchant from losing out on their merchant account from an acquirer or a network. So overall, merchants are moving in that direction for smart terminals, and these software enhancements will really be a big plus for them over the long term.
Yeah, and Ray, building on, again, what you're saying there, the opportunity to avoid chargebacks is really about education and communication. And so making them, you know, early on, making them aware of that chargeback risk and making them aware of the processes that they should follow, making the in-store associates aware of that. And then, you know, in the event of a chargeback, notifying them as quickly as possible, giving them the instructions that they need to how to handle and respond to a chargeback. You know, again, it's all about communications, and there's no better point of communications than, you know, on the device at the place where they use it, you know, day in and day out. I think one of the key things too, when we talk about omnichannel, is how do you determine which channel is best for which types of engagements? And again, you know, I don't think you want to have a chat session on a payment terminal. You don't want to be playing videos or long interactions on a payment terminal. But if you can measure the effectiveness of specific types of communications, you can ensure that you're delivering those right messages to the right person at the right time. And in our analysis, we're able to tell, you know, there's a certain cadence of engagement. We can tell that the branded messages, the welcome messages, and those things are always, you know, viewed in the morning. They're, you know, viewed, you know, during the weekdays much heavier than on the weekends, you know, that type of thing. And then as merchants are looking for self-help content, again, it's a great opportunity to see what, you know, what are they struggling with, what are the store associates struggling with, and you know, what can be delivered in very small pieces of information and very graphical, engaging workflows on the in-store device? And when should you give them that QR code to link them to online content, online videos, and other things? And it's that combination of being able to measure the level of engagement in the content on the in-store device and the effectiveness of driving the merchant and the store associate to your online content, to your portals, to your videos, that gives you that best combination and optimized omnichannel experience.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end things on that note there. So Greg, Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about smart terminals and pop codes. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. My pleasure.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be with you, Greg. Take care.
You as well, Ryan. Thank you.